For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, September the 5th, 1981. Labor Day weekend, deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Alton Froelig of Minnesota is the teacher of the morning. He's speaking on the subject of unclean sex habits.
A Holy Ghost meeting. Everyone cometh with a song, hath a prayer, hath a tongue.
My children are the instruments of my will, for I poured out my spirit upon you, my children, that you should accomplish the purpose for which I have called you. Know you, my children, that you are tools in my hand. I have formed you to accomplish the purpose for which I have called you, for I have called you that you might set the captives free, that you might loose my children, that you might set my children free, that they may worship me and praise me in spirit and truth. But my children, you must yield to me, and you must let yourself be used of me, for you are my tools, and you fit only my hand. And my children, if you yield not unto me, you are worthless for nothing, for I have formed you that you might be used according to my purpose and none other, saith the Lord Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God, there's more. He's going to speak because we've reached the heavenlies this morning.
Just gave me a picture of us washing one another's.
Praise God. That's humility. He says he wants us humble. We're all made out of the same crust. There's no big shots and no little shots. We're all equal. And as we yield to the Holy Ghost, you see, it isn't us. It's what's in us. It's Jesus. It's Jesus all the way, isn't it?
As we were down at the front last night and our brothers were ministering healing, the Lord impressed me that we're coming into a new walk of obedience to Him. And even the foolish things that we're told to do will not hesitate. Like when we were told last night to put spittle on our finger and apply it to our eye. I saw the people, maybe the way Jesus saw, but it was so precious and it was so pleasing to Him. It was like burning incense before the Lord. And this is what He wants. He wants to smell that incense and that praise that we send up to Him. And as we move into this new obedience, it's going to bring us into a new yielding to Him. And the more we yield to Him, the more we're going to become like Him.
Amen. Praise God.
Corando, the mighty army to go forth for me into this land and bring my word and deliverance unto the people. I have called you by the Spirit. You are to be on the solid rock, the solid rock of Jesus, for all other ground is sinking sand.
I feel to share one thing. When our brother was ministering in song under the Spirit, the Lord reminded me of a study that I had made several years ago. The Lord had me to make this study. And those of you who are in churches that are set up per se, or some of you who are going into back home and establish your work, always there's some business into it, and we normally always have what we term deacons in the church. And remember the scriptures there where it's told in the New Testament for them to pick out those men and that they were to be sure to be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Well, the Lord had me to make a study on that. And, you know, back then, they didn't haphazardly do things like sometimes we do. I've come through a period of time in various churches who the brethren were picked out to be the deacons or the members of the board or whatever you call them in your locality. It was generally the banker or the furniture dealer or the automobile dealer or somebody like that. And they didn't consider what the word says. But you make a study of those names and see what they mean. And I'll not share all of them with you, because the only one the Lord wants me to share with you today, because you'd miss a blessing if I told it all to you, for you to go home and study out yourself. But the one name I want to share with you of one of those brethren that was picked out, his name was Prochorus. And Prochorus means professional chorus director. That's what it means. So if you don't have a deacon in your church that's full of the Holy Ghost and a professional chorus director, you've missed something. So the Lord prompted me to share that portion with you, especially after the brother sung in the Spirit, see? Because that's a part of it. It's part of the business end of the church. It's to have a Spirit-filled professional chorus singer. Is that all right, Brother Glenn?
Yes.
Let's see, who's going to preach this morning? Okay. You know, you have to be led by the Spirit to be called sons of God. I'll tell you one thing. 15 years ago, I didn't even know what it meant to be led by the Spirit. I didn't even know. I'm an Assembly of God preacher's daughter, born and raised in it. I was so bound 15 years ago. Would you believe I couldn't even pray in tongues? I hadn't prayed in tongues for 30-some years. Isn't that pitiful? And nobody came to tell me or to help me. And I used to think, Lord, I wish I could get away from my family and everybody and go down to the colored district and let some of those mission people pray me through. I knew there's got to be more. I knew it. But one day the Lord heard my cry. He'll hear your cry. Be honest with him. He'll hear your cry. He heard my cry, and I first came into deliverance in 1965, something like that. And I heard a demon speak out of a person and say, my name is Bride. Oh, man, I fell apart. I trembled in shock. I ran upstairs in the Hilton Hotel in Chicago, took 2 tranquilizers, jumped in bed, and covered up my head. And I was a grandmother. Grandmothers aren't supposed to act like that. It frightened me. But why do you think it frightened me? Because I was full of the devil of fear. I was loaded with him. And he shook me, and I shook like this. And I stayed out of those meetings. I was afraid to go in there. But a man came to California and started to hold a meeting, and we heard about it. And the Lord, Jesus, directed us there. And I tell you, if you could stand his meetings, you can stand anything. I had never seen anything like it, and I've seen a lot. In 50 years, I have seen a lot, but I've never seen anything like him. He would roll back the chairs. We're all going to dance in the spirit. Dance, my land, that's of the devil, I think. And the devil would shoot that. We never danced. My land, I couldn't even take gym when I went to high school because I couldn't wear tennis shoes because I couldn't wear anklets. They were all of the devil, see. I've already served my fanaticism, people. I served that season. I'm past that. Praise God. I'm glad. But they would sing, and he would come and prophesy over me. Oh, just wonderful things. And it would make me angry. He would say, there's no guile in her mouth, and the Lord's going to use and do this and do that. And I just thought I was so far away from God. Oh, I acted all right. You know, I could come and sit with the best of them, go through the motions, but there was something lacking in me, and there was such a hunger way down in here, and I didn't know what it was, because nobody had ever told me that the devil could come to church and get in people. My daddy always said he was at the bar, but I knew that, but I didn't know he was on the front seat sometimes. And above all, I didn't know he's in me. And when I found that out, that there's an alien in me that can control me at times, I mean, that shut me up. But I knew it was true. And this brother, after 7 weeks of meeting, and I'd get so angry with him. I understand when you people get mad at me. I understand it, because I used to get mad at him. And I wouldn't even go. I'd say to Glenn, I don't feel like going. I have to get up at 5 o'clock and go type tomorrow. I'm not going to go. And I'd stay home. And then I'd fret and be nasty and mean and ugly. How many knows when you have an ugly spirit in you, you're just ugly everywhere, outside, inside, everything. You just feel so mean and mad. And after 7 weeks went by, and I remember the last Sunday, I thought, oh, Lord, I'm not delivered yet. You know why? Because I was so proud. I wouldn't go up there to get delivered. You have to ask. The Bible says call. There's no other way but call. Call. Call out to the Lord for help. I'd call out at home. When Glenn would go away, I used to walk up and down my hall crying, Lord, deliver me from all evil. That's the Lord's prayer, you know. Deliver me from all evil. He heard me, but he did it. I was a type of I've always been a supervisor for years, and I could wheel and deal my authority, you know, and do this, Lord, do that, Lord. You don't tell God what to do. He says, I'll drive these out little by little out of you. If I had my way, I'd get them all out the first day and get over with. He says, Irma, you'll get delivered when I get ready to deliver you, and please don't be telling me what to do. He let me know. How many knows God knows how to spank us? He's got lots of rug factories, and he can jerk the rug out of anybody. You'll fall flat on your face. He knows how. But this preacher, he told us later, he said, we travailed for one whole week for you and Glenn, and he finally got up enough nerve to obey God, and he called up one morning. We were still in bed, and he said, now I'm going to be in town for 2 or 3 days, and I'm going to be ministering to 5 families that's been coming to the meetings that the Lord has told me to minister to. And he said, could I please come to your house and minister to you and Glenn? And I said, oh, yes, please do. And he came, and I was ready. I had such a prissy, nice, beautiful home with white furniture and white walls and white drapes and red rugs and pink and all this. And I got out a great big beach towel and put it on my floor because I had ideas I was going to really heave them up. But see, the Lord, he knows what's best for all of us. Then I got my laundry basket, and I filled it full of paper towels. And when he walked in, he just started to laugh at me, and he says, you're ready. I said, I'm ready. He stood in front of me. We had a sunken living room, and I was up on this high level, and he was down 2 steps lower than me. We were eye to eye. He says, you Jezebel spirit, you come out of her now in Jesus' name. I break the curse of Jezebel over her. I break the curse about 15 or 20 things, the curse of death. And I command all these spirits to leave. You know how they left? And it was over. My hands flew up, and I began to pray in tongues and prophesy, and I swung my arm, and he fell flat of his face on the floor. And I said, oh, Lord, what have I done to him? And then the prophetic utterances of the Lord begin to come through me. You see, the Holy Spirit was always down in there, but there was so much debris and blockage, he could never get up and out. And praise God, I've never been the same. I have never been the same since that day. I thought I was all through. That was only the first layer. Then he started getting to the nitty-gritties. One day a minister, we've always been so privileged to have all these different deliverance preachers that just seem to come up from under the rock someplace. And they come, and they all, I always submit. Well, pray for me. Well, pray for you. Submit. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. And the Lord just keeps delivering us. One day this preacher says to me, "You talk too much." So I said, "Okay." And he commanded that one to come out. I think Glenn was glad about that. And the Lord has just led us and brought us, and I dragged my feet screaming and yelling all the way to Arkansas. We used to tell our secretary that everybody had a washing machine on their front porch and all this wild stuff that we'd always heard about Arkansas. But I'm so glad I'm here because I'm meeting all of you people. Many of you today for the first time, and I just bless the Lord. Come on, Brother Alton, I'm going to shut up before you come up here and deliver me again.
Praise the Lord. Have you ever had a revelation from God and shortly afterwards wished you hadn't received it? This has been a difficult decision for me to bring this message here this morning that I'm going to be talking on. But I've been praying and meditating and asking the Lord over and over again, can I bring this heavy meat to this congregation? And the Lord said yes. He reminded me of 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every one of us will have to give stand before God and give an accounting for the light that we have received, I believe, according to this scripture. After I talked to Glenn and Irma here a couple weeks ago or months ago and said I was coming, I was praying and I asked the Lord, what are some of the subjects I should talk on? And the Holy Spirit said to me, all sex and unclean sex habits amongst the Christians. Not long ago, I was in Orlando, Florida, with a Full Gospel businessman, and I was asked to speak to a covered dish luncheon of all Spirit-filled women. And as I walked in, I asked the Holy Spirit to give me words. What should I speak on to these ladies? And the Holy Spirit of the living God said, tell them what they're doing in their bedrooms is not all of God. And I said, Lord, I'll tell you, that was tough. But I decided I'm going to obey the Lord because he's given me light. And I'm going to pray right now that those of you that aren't ready to accept this, that cannot understand it yet, that you'll just put this on the shelf. Not pass judgment on this today, but just put it on the shelf. Because someday you're all going to understand very clearly what I'm talking about. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and by the obedience of your Holy Spirit and bring this message to the people here this morning. And Lord God, I ask that you open the eyes and the ears of their understanding by your mighty Spirit. So they can understand this, your scripture, your words, Lord, not mine. And that it'll change their lives and that they'll become a better vessel and better ministers for your service, Heavenly Father. We ask this in Jesus' name, so shall it be. Amen. Those of you who got Bibles, open to Galatians 6, 7 and 8. In some Bibles it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. How many of you have ever been in a nursing home? Raise your hands. Okay. In a nursing home across the world tonight at 5 o'clock or when they have supper? Across the world, not only in America, but any country of the world that's got nursing homes. They'll come tonight and they'll go over here and they'll find this lady in this room and they'll say, Clara, it's time for supper. And she might go like this,
oh, I thought it was breakfast.
Well, they get her dressed, and they get her out here, wait here, and they go over and they get a man and they'll say, Oli, it's time for supper.
Huh? Where am I?
The way they talk.
95 to 99% of them.
They lead them like little children to the cafeteria or the lunchroom. Along the way, they're having bowel movements or urinating in their clothing. When they get there, they have to butter their bread for them. Then they fight and they argue. They throw dishes, throw food. That is what's going on in the nursing homes across the world. Now, doctors and psychiatrists and religious people say they are senile. They are not senile. Natural man calls them. They have reprobate minds. They've been turned over to Satan. Satan owns them completely. Completely. Now let's open to St. John, or Romans, the first chapter, and start with the 18th verse. And they have been turned over, many of you will be surprised to see, by God, the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God that's come upon them. Romans, the first chapter, starting with the 18th verse. Now, I wrote it down rather than carry my Bible around. I've got it on card here, but out of the New American Standard. Some people here have asked me why I use the New American Standard. Now, there are many good Bibles, but if you study Greek and you get into Greek, you'll find out how much more accurate the New American Standard is. And if you want to have power, we want to be as accurate as we can to the original manuscripts. I'll just give you one little one to tease you with. The keys to the kingdom in Matthew 16:19. Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the keys of the kingdom, the authority of the church or of the Christian. That's what it says in the King James and the Revised Edition of the Bible. It says, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But now let me tell you, share with you what is in the original Greek manuscript. Some of you here can read Greek. Some of you have a pastor that read Greek. You get the original Greek manuscripts, and here's what it says. Jesus says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. It's just like a will. When you make out a will, you fellows, that it's already done. The only thing that makes it official is when you sign it. And you're binding the devil. When you say, Satan, you're bound, when you know this by heart, in your spirit, that it's already shall have been done. When you say, devil, you're bound over this situation in Jesus' name, it's already done. I was taught by people, when I first become saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, that, well, now you bind it on earth, and then sooner or later, Jesus is going to bind it in heaven. No, shall have been. It's already done. All right, I felt a lot more safe dealing with the demonic forces after I got this into my spirit. That's just one of them. And I could go on and take quite a bit of time. There's so many, many errors or poor translations that have been improved on in the New American Standard. Praise the Lord. So I'm reading from the New American Standard here now. And you follow me in your Bibles. Romans, the first chapter, the 18th verse. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. 19th verse. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. Right in their conscience. Every man and woman has got a conscience. 20th verse. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. All these people that have been turned over into a reprobate or a depraved mind are without excuse. God has put into their minds a conscience. They're without excuse, it says. That's what's written. Without excuse. People in this nation, in this city, and some of you sitting here today, are doing unclean sexual acts that animals wouldn't do. Some of you right in here. Spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking people doing unnatural sex. As some of you have told me, I've been ministering here already to some. Not long ago, or about a year ago, I was teaching this, and there was a doctor in the audience, spirit-filled, tongue-talking doctor. 20, maybe 30 years, I don't know, but he's one of the old-timers in the charismatic movement. Listened to my teaching, and about 2 or 3 months later, sometime later, he called me. He said, "Mister, I've got to come and sit under your teaching." He said, "You open up my eyes to something. When are you going to have a session again about this subject?" I said, "Doc, I really don't know, but I'll be glad to give you a call." "Doc," I said, "right now, the first verse I'm going to give you is just a couple of verses about demonic, what Jesus did when he called his, the first thing Jesus did when he called his 12 disciples together. So, Doc, I'm going to give you 2 verses. It's in Matthew, the 10th chapter, the first verse. And it's also in the Luke, the 9th chapter, in the first verse. In the King James, it says, Matthew 10:1, when he called his 12 disciples together, Jesus, he gave them power and authority against unclean spirits, comma, to cast them out, comma, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In the 9th chapter of Luke, it says it again. When he called his 12 disciples together, he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. That's Luke 9:1. Luke 9:1. I give you Matthew 10:1 and Luke 9:1. I said, "Doctor, take a look at those verses and then and read them out loud and meditate on them, and then we'll discuss this later on." But I said, "This will give you a little more, give you something to think about." That's what the Lord gave me when he called me at my office. In about half an hour, this doctor called back and he said, "Mister," he said, "this is really hitting me." He said, "Can I bring my wife out too?" He said, I want to bring her along too and hear this more about spiritual warfare and about how Satan operates and his demonic forces." And I said, "That's fine. Bring her along. Anybody else you want to bring?" But I didn't hear for about 6 months. Thought it was kind of strange, but you know the devil, when you start to get close to some new light, he has got so many volunteers, even in the charismatic movement, to try to keep you in darkness. We've got one on national television every Sunday morning that is so deceived about spiritual warfare, and he's used by Satan to deceive millions. The doctor called. He said, "Mister, I've got to come out and see it today. This isn't about 6 months." So I said, "Okay." I told him what town to meet. I live in a little town. I said, "If you come to Montevideo, Minnesota, that's a larger town, several supper clubs. If you be there at 5 o'clock, I'll buy you supper. I'm a farmer, so we call it supper. You big shots call it dinner. But in our country, it's supper." And so I said, "You come out, I'll buy you supper. And we're going to teach you for about 2 or 3 hours. And then we'll go from there." I knew right away that he wanted deliverance. So after about 2 hours of teaching, and he was sitting on a chair about over by the tape there, the Holy Ghost told me, "Don't get out of your chairs. Let this man see the power of the name of Jesus." And through a word of knowledge, the Holy Ghost said to me, "Command the spirits of divination to come out first." And so I said, "If you'll say this confession first, it helps to make them come out." He said, "What should I say, Mister?" Said, "Say the spirit of divination, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. and you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So he said the very same thing. He said, Spirit of divination, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus, and you come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And nothing happened. He sat there just like a frog on a log. But see, I knew what I was doing through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you devils, you're not fooling me one bit. Come out of that man in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sitting in the recliner, and he starts shaking back and forth like that. But all of a sudden, he shot out like a 2x4, stiff as can be, and yelled, and the Spirit came out. Divination. And this doctor, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking doctor now, walks around my house like this.
I wouldn't believe it.
I said, Doc, you haven't seen anything yet. Because the Holy Ghost showed me he was on drugs. And I said, Doc, you're taking drugs. Yes. How did you know that? I said, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And in my humble opinion, it's a spirit of bondage that is the controlling spirit. So I just told him to say, Spirit of bondage, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come out of me by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of the Lord came over this doctor. And I didn't know he was kind of a fancy guy. He had a real slick rug on top. And he's starting to sweat. And I mean, he's sweating.
So he's holding you. He's rocking you.
Man, I never seen power like this, he said, in my life. And he got some more deliverance. And pride went. See, pride was one of them that went. And he gets up and he says, I got to confess something to you folks, he said. And here he says, I don't know if I can do this in front of a woman or not. He says, but man, he says, I'm under conviction now. Well, she's been in it quite a while, and there's nothing you could ever done that she hasn't heard before. And he says, lady, I've been having sex with an animal. I've been having sex with an animal. Can you imagine that? A doctor having sex with an animal. Well, she said, big deal. She said, have you confessed it to the Lord? Well, I don't know. I can't remember, he said. So anyway, something to that effect. We took him through and confessed it. And she, all of a sudden, she got a word from the Lord that was animal spirits. And we had deliverance with this doctor, a dignified doctor with the slippery rug up on top. And he got set free in about 2 hours. One demon after another come out. He goes out of that house praising the Lord. He got home, and he called me a couple of days later. He says, Mister, I'm a different man. Man, he says, we've been missing it. I said, that's right, Doc. But praise the Lord, you've seen the light. He says, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to share this with others. Share this with others. Praise the name of the Lord. And I could tell you all kinds of stories, but you got the message. And there are many. There are many in this town that are having sex with animals. Not a few. Lots of them. Across this world. And they're tongue talkers on top of it. I've had a preacher's wife, an Assembly of God on top of it, come to me and confess some terrible things. And she said, I can't understand how that thing got a hold of me. Now, I'm going to tell you how they get a hold of some of your children, or some of you got a hold of these evil spirits. Yeah, do they have slumber parties, little girls in this town? Ever heard of that, folks? Well, if I had a little girl, I'd be awful careful where she went to a slumber party. Because I've had deliverance with lots of ladies. Professors, college professors' wives, down to housewives, who at 13 or 8 or 9 or 10 went to slumber parties. And the devil had one little girl in there and said, let's us try something different. And they started using their mouths on each other, and that spirit of lesbianism went through the whole bunch. And it's here. It's even right here today. Praise the Lord. Now let's get back into the scripture. Praise the Lord. 21st verse. Of the Romans, the first chapter. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. But they become futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. 22nd verse. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Oh, they said it's the in thing to do in these college towns. They said, we're experimenting. We're doing the in thing today. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Do you know that there's kids who have streaked, taken their clothes off, and run across the college campus in the nude and have gone, the devil's got in their minds that night? In one night. And if it hadn't been men who knew their authority in the name of Jesus, they would have still been in a crazy house or an institution. But some salesman came along who knew how to get this thing out and spent hours to get that foul spirit out. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Some of you are getting kind of jittery in here because you know this is hitting real right smack in a tender spot. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God into an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and creeping creatures. 24th verse. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their heart to impurity, that their bodies may be dishonored among them. Get that? You get that? I'm going to read it again. Take a peek in your own Bible. Therefore God, not Satan, God just turned them over. God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. I ministered to homosexuals and lesbians. Their bodies, a man's body, starts turning like a woman, and the woman like a man's. Get down into Atlanta, Georgia, Orlando, Florida, about 11 o'clock at night, in the big restaurants. That's when the gay community, like the governor of California, comes out, or he endorses it. They come out. Men with long fingernails and lipstick on. Girls flat-chested. Their breasts even disappear. They just flatten right out. Satan has got a hold of them. I know one time after a full gospel meeting in Orlando, Florida, we went down to Howard Johnson's because they had such a variety of ice cream. And one of the full gospel businessmen presidents always liked a lot of ice cream. And they had great big tumblers like this of ice cream. So let's go down there. So we get in there and we're sitting around the table praising the Lord. And here comes one of these guys, dainty, long fingernails, to take the order. And one of the guys started praying in tongues. He dropped his pencil and he dropped his book, took off. They don't like the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's right. From then on, when we get into that, we start praying in tongues and confuse the whole bunch. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 25th verse. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, which is blessed forever. Amen. A lot of people, when they get in Romans, the first chapter, they quit with the amen. Take a peek in your Bible now. I didn't write this Bible, folks. This is just the way it's written. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desires toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the dire penalty of their error. 28th verse of Romans, the first chapter, yep. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God, get this, God gave them over to a depraved or reprobate mind. God gave them over. God gave them over. Satan didn't do it. God gave them over because they wanted to act like an animal. He said, oh, he just let them go. He let them go. It's as simple as that. You follow me? You understand it, everybody? Hallelujah. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved or reprobate mind to do these things which are not proper. To do these things which are not proper. To do these things that are not proper. Go into a penitentiary, if there's one in this town tonight, and find out what's going on. What happens to the young boys that get in there? They get raped in the rectum time and time again by these convicts. Continuously in most of the prisons. And the government and the authorities say, well, they broke the law, let them suffer the consequences. Some of these young boys that get thrown into prison tonight will beg to die by tomorrow morning. That's right. I've been in the prisons. They cry so bad as they're being tortured that you can hear through the walls of that prison, but the guards are hardened to it, like in a slaughterhouse. This is going rampant because somebody's never had the guts to tell you what's in this word. See, the devil's had people blind in their fear of man. They said, you don't talk about those things in church. It's in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, when a doctor tells boys, start masturbating early. And Lutheran, not long ago, a Lutheran pastor was spirit-filled. There isn't many of them in my country, but one came to my office one day, just been at a district convention. And in most towns, they said you got to have sex education in schools. I was on the school board for a number of years during this when this was being discussed. And they said, well, if now we get sex education, we're not going to have all these girls getting pregnant. You know what's happening? It's just the opposite. When they learn evil, they do evil. And it's more pregnancies now than ever before with all this goofed up sex education. Okay, home box office movies. Not long ago, I was in Sioux Falls ministering, and a fellow brought his wife in, about 30 years old. And I'm going to show you what they look like when they really get reprobate and still are not quite in an institution. She had a normal body out of a 30-year-old woman, but she started getting real puffy, just like she had a little basketball right here, a half a basketball. And the top of her hands are all puffed up. She comes in just in a stupor, just like a zombie. I touched her. The Holy Ghost said, that's pornography. Give me a word of knowledge that she's watching all these filthy movies. So I said to her husband, what is she doing the other day? Oh, he says, she's watching that box office, all the reality, and all this oral sex, all these different methods, he says. That's all she wants to look at. That's what they got the box office in the big cities. Turn to Leviticus, the 18th chapter, or write this down and study what a curse it is to lay with an animal. Or to lay with your sister. Or with a relative. The 18th chapter. Or have sex during menstrual periods. Get into it. It's in the scripture. It says right and wrong in Leviticus, the 18th chapter. But see, I never had anybody teach you, or not very often. Because they're so religious and so fearful of man. Because some little old lady that's doing these things don't want to talk about because she's got a guilt complex. That's right. I get into some of these churches where there's been some little old ladies that's been running these churches for years. They don't want to know about spiritual warfare. They don't want to know any about these things. Because they need the deliverance so bad. People got a lot of demons are always against deliverance. Always. When a man starts telling me you shouldn't be doing these things, you better be careful. I know who needs the deliverance. That's right. When I see these men on national television and I see their staff, the men that are saying you shouldn't be doing these things and writing these articles today, men and women who have got a keen spirit of the revelation knowledge of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, could even walk right up and tell you what's wrong with them and who needs it on these staffs of these men that are writing these articles. I'd like to get a few of them in a corner for about 10 minutes. Because there's homosexuals on one of these staffs where they are talking against it. Okay, I told you Leviticus, the 18th chapter. When you get home, write this down in your Bible. Write Leviticus 18 because it's awful important to you. Write Romans 1 down. Or if you haven't got a piece of paper, put it in the corner of your Bible inside your cover. And you need to show this. You need to teach the young ladies and young men up in our country that we've been nursing along that have gotten saved. We got some that are just turned on to the Lord. Well, it's easy if these young people would go out and teach. They can go out and communicate and inform each other. We got to stop doing these things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so also will he reap." Go ahead, you've got it.
"Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing them."
I thought it was bad Minnesota and Iowa. You get into New York City, Washington, D.C., the capital of our nation. Get in the subways of our large cities and see what they're selling. And you'll see, it just grieved me not long ago. I was in New York City, and here was from Kansas. There was a bunch of, it was last year during school, young boys wrestling, and they were going to be in some wrestling tournament. They come from the country. They get into that city of Minneapolis, into New York City. And if you think pornography is bad in Playboy and some of these things, you ought to see what it is down there. And it's in big pictures on the wall. It's from little kids, little five-year-olds, the old grandma standing there, and old grandpas, filling himself up with all demons of lust and promiscuousness. Even in the capital of the United States. It's time that the Christians wake up and take a stand against it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some people think, oh, it's just the little dummies that are doing these things. Well, I just told you about this doctor. Now I'm going to tell you about a father of a doctor. Late one Friday night, I got a phone call. A lady was in North Carolina. She was from South Dakota. But they heard that Kenneth Copeland was speaking in some place in North or South Carolina. And her husband had lost his mind, and she didn't know anybody that had power over the devil, didn't know what was really causing it. So she took her husband all the way over there, but never, it was such a big crowd and kind of maybe not the sharpest or most aggressive person to be able to get a hold of him, to make the attempt to get personal contact with him. Before she knew it, he was gone. But somebody gave her my name there. Somebody, I don't know how it happened, but anyway. So this lady called me long distance. She said, "Mister, something terrible is happening to my husband. Can I bring him to Minnesota?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm kind of busy. When do you want to bring him?" She said, I'll leave right now and drive all night, day and night, right through to get there," she said. Now let me refresh your memory for some of these Assembly of God or full gospel people. This husband had been filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, for I'm sure at least 30 years. But she comes with her husband, and she went to a payphone and she called, so I went down to so she could find my house, and there, and he's sitting in the car. How many of you ever seen a wild heifer or a cow that's been chased till she's got that crazy wild look in her eyes? Okay, you know what they look like. That's the way this man looked. He sat in a seat and just like that, just like a crazy animal. Now, she didn't tell me how he'd gotten this way. But we started praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost showed me bestiology, as it's written in Leviticus, the 18th chapter. This man, on the sly, after being faithful to his wife for many years, goes out and starts having sex with his sister-in-law. First, just once in a while, then getting to be weekly, and then it was getting to be just very, very often. See, sin blinds. The more he did it, the more she did it, the more... It didn't seem so bad anymore. But he wasn't satisfied as soon as her. Then he started having sex with animals. And then he turned over. And he was this bad that he could eat and talk, but he was... Prance back and forth like a mad dog. Was on the move when he's home, just walking back and forth. He had a good government job. Lost his job. Just one step from being an institution for life. So we started in having deliverance having him read the scripture. Folks, those of you that are just starting in deliverance, if you can get the person you're working with to read scripture, so he hears this from his own ears, hears his voice somehow or other. It seems to have a greater impression as our experience. So we had him read scripture. In fact, I had him stay with me for a while and you'd get a little better. But it takes time. When people get that, the devil gets that hold on their mind, you don't set them free very easy anymore. It is a spiritual battle. She'd take him home, and then she'd come back, bring her mother and father along, and they'd come to our church, and they'd spend Sunday services with them. We'd have dinner together, and then we'd meditate in the Word in the afternoon, and then back at church at night, and then they'd go home again. Every once in a while, I'd call her, and I'd have prayers agreement over the phone and see how he's doing, his wife. And she said, he's improving, but it's so slow. Well, then he was a veteran also, so they took him to Sioux Falls Veterans Hospital. One day, I was praying in tongues in my office, and the Holy Ghost said to me to look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Praise the Lord. And if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And the Holy Ghost said to me, call that lady up and tell her to start commanding the devil to take his evil influence off his mind and let him go. And I said I would continue do that likewise. And after a few days, in fact, it was just 2 or 3 days later, the devil let him go. And now he's back home and he's working. But this is what happens when you start fooling around and get out of under the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Some of you here are guilty of what I'm talking about. A number of you. Praise the Lord. Right now, turn to 1 John 1:7-9. Praise the Lord. Glenn, will you find it and read it, please? Or either one of you.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It is strange that the Lord would send him here to teach on this subject, because this is the same thing that we taught on here last Sunday. If you take Deuteronomy chapter 27, starting with verse 15, you'll find that that is more powerful than what is in Leviticus.
Praise the Lord. So, that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalms 103:12, it tells us how far our sins are put from us. It's written in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, our transgressions are cast or thrown from us. Not as far as the north is from the south. God in his infinite intelligence knew that if you go south, you'll soon go north. If you go north long enough, you'll go south. But you can go east forever or west forever. You'll never meet. He said, as far as the east is from the west. Praise the name of the Lord. But you need to confess these sins if you're guilty. If you're doing these things, you need to stop. I taught a group of people this teaching here just recently. And several women came up and said, someone's been telling me that this is not right, but my husband won't have sex the normal way. He wants me to use my mouth on him. And I've been under condemnation. And I want to stop, but I'll divorce you if you don't keep on doing it. Well, I said, take him down to the nursing home. Take him on a little stroll through that nursing home at supper time. And ask him if he wants to end up that way, because as sure as I am standing here today, if you indulge and continue to masturbate and do these unclean sex things or unnatural sex, you are prophesying what you're going to be like in the future. Just that simple. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not long ago, I was asked to come and teach a bunch of I'm a farmer, kind of crude. A group of Lutheran, spirit-filled, parochial school teachers. Missouri Synod. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, and Bishop Price don't know it yet. That's right. So they have to hide. You know, they can't tell anybody. But there's getting to be quite a bunch of them. Praise the Lord. And one of them was living in a house by herself. And she was feeling oppression. See, until you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't know really much about spiritual warfare. You're talking then like the doctors are senile, like the preachers this whole. Look at Grandma. How cozy she is there. She's sitting there rocking and talking to herself. He don't know that she's talking to an evil spirit that's been with her, a familiar spirit that's been there for a long, long time. That's who Grandma's talking to. She's not talking to herself. She's talking to a demon. But the ignorant and religious people, they think it's kind of cozy seeing Grandpa or Grandma walking around talking to themselves and getting in a big argument with themselves. How about I talk? You know, they're carrying on conversation with demons. Well, anyway, these young ladies, when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, this one, she said, she felt oppression in her head. Many of you can relate to this. All of a sudden, someday you felt something, right? Just like a rubber band around your head. Just like, oh, what in the world's coming on me? And she felt that, and she didn't know, hadn't had any teaching on spiritual warfare or demons. The Bible's got so much on it. Once your eyes are open to it, you'll say, how come I've never seen that before? Whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Praise the Lord. So she feels this oppression, and she said, why are you devils doing this to me? And out of her mouth says, and she says, go on, leave this house. And right out of her own mouth comes his voice, well, don't do this to us. She got so scared, she went to the phone, and she says, my goodness, something crazy happened. I felt oppression, and I said, get out of the house. And my own mouth says, don't do this to us. Hallelujah. And this other lady that she calls says, well, that's demons. Well, she said, I'm not going to stay in this house. So she gets over there. Well, then they call up a little widow woman, and you know her, Claire Weiss. They call up Claire Weiss, and now there's two of them that's scared. We can't go to sleep today. We had some crazy experiences. So this Claire Weiss, she says, well, I know a guy in southern Minnesota that knows how to handle that. So she calls up and asked if I could come up. And she said, in the meantime, I'll herd a bunch of these together and I'll start giving them some scripture. So I got up there, and she had quite a large number there. It was only one or two men, the rest were women, from grandmas to small children to one lady I remember vividly was just about ready to have a baby, just maybe a month away. Well, anyway, I give them a teaching there. And the Spirit of the Lord came on, just like last night after our brother's teaching here. You could just feel the presence of the Lord all over this place. God confirms His Word with signs and wonders following. And demons start to manifest in every single person. There's a 14-year-old boy. It's a Catholic lady. She brought her son along. He was 14 years old. And here's what he was doing. You know. And her mother, his mother said, what in the world is that? You know. And I walked over and I said, demon, what's your name? In the name of Jesus. Well, come out then. And just like that, the demon knocked the kid on the floor, and I stood over and I said, you foul spirit of lust, come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he let out a scream, and the thing was gone. Praise the Lord. And about that time, Mama starts to shake. My goodness, you got it too? I guess so, she said. Well, come out in the name of Jesus. So she's getting set free. There was two Catholics jumping around, excited as can be. They said they'd never seen the power of the Lord like that before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, that's working a miracle. Mark, praise the Lord, 9:38. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. When you cast out devils, you're working and operating in one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Check me out, brother. Praise the Lord.
Mark 9:38. And John answered, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he followed us not. And we forbid him because he followed us not. Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me.
You get that? That's working a miracle. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, then it was all over the place. And an older lady in her late 60s, she started to holler and scream, and the Holy Ghost showed me it was divination or witchcraft spirits there. And she got set free. In fact, every person got set free where they were just a new creation. The next morning, the daylight, the everything got brighter and lighter. One lady ends up on all four on the floor. Like you kids say. There she is, all four on the floor, and barking like a dog. And all of a sudden, the green stuff was coming out. It's coming out of her nose and out of her mouth on the floor. And I said, what is the name? What is your name, you foul spirit? And it says, I'm the one that causes oral sex. Told that to come out. Well, then more and more says, well, we're doing that dumb thing in our house, too. And I felt wrong about it. And that unclean spirit, see, it's an unclean spirit is what it is. It's just like when you go to come up to a man or woman that don't wash very often, smelly, they got unclean spirits. Or a lady that don't keep her house clean, or a guy driving around in his car and his floor mat's full of junk, bottles and wrenches and oil cans and stuff. It's unclean spirits. Don't take much brains to see that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, that started a movement up there. Now listen. The one all fall on the floor. Praise the Lord. She got so turned on to the Lord, and a whole bunch of them got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. Then they went and got their husbands and laid down a few new regulations. And the guy said, I want to see that in the Bible. I brought them back and I showed them. Praise the Lord. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And in fact, you can go to, I can take you to a town where them men now are having deliverance teachings. They've opened up their houses and miracles are there every week. Shook up the preachers in town. They said, you guys must be in a cult doing all those crazy things. So then a lady, 29 years old, tried to commit suicide at Detroit Lakes. Been married at the age of 22, but her husband divorced her when she was 22. And she got so depressed from that, that she got out in the world, drugs and witchcraft, you name it, and she just got to be like an animal. And she had an urge she was going to kill herself. That's all she could think about. And she tried it several times. And they'd head her to every psychiatrist around. Her daddy had a lot of money. He was a big insurance man. And they tried to find out if great-grandma had freckles. Maybe that's what caused it. No, that didn't cause it. Well, they found all kinds of reasons why she was trying to kill herself. And her folks said they were so tired of spending money on it that either she shaped up pretty quick or they're going to have her committed for good. But a spirit-filled little old grandma said, I don't want to see that girl go and spend her life in an asylum when it's nothing but demonic forces that have got her that way. And I just come back from a teaching trip. I'm going to come in for landing pretty quick here, Glenn. Praise the Lord. Just come back when this grandma called and she said, this is a desperate situation. And I said, I am so tired. But then I felt bad afterwards, and I called back and I said, well, there was 200 miles or 200 some miles away. I said, bring the girl 100 miles into a home. I wanted the lady with the four on the floor now. I said, I know she'll let anybody come there for deliverance because she knows it's so real and what it's done to her family. Praise the Lord. Anyway, when I called and I said, okay, if this lady comes to your house, and I said, it's 100 miles I'll drive tonight, and 100 miles or 100 some miles they'll bring her, and Jesus will set her free. Why, of course, she said. She said, you think it'd be okay if we have our preacher over? You know, she said, it's the same guy that heard your tapes about 2 months ago, and he said you were in error. But we had two men in church attempting suicide. And the mother-in-law of the preacher says, you guys are blessing this suicide and crying out to God, but if you cast a demon out, the guy's going to get set free. And the preacher says, no, we don't do that in our church. We're not going to do that in our church. Well, they didn't do it, and one of them killed himself. One's in the grave. The second one attempted, and he I don't know if he's still in the hospital up there or not, but he didn't make it, so he was still alive. And they said, they called the preacher up, and they said, we're having this same guy up that you said is an error, but you come tonight, and you'll see that God confirms his words with signs and wonders following. And you pass judgment after you watch this. And so the preacher came, and he brought a few of the wheels from the full gospel church. Now, this is full gospel people, not Lutherans or Catholics. I mean, this is tongue talkers who said a Christian can't have a demon. When I get up there, they're all sitting eyeballing this old farm machinery salesman. The girl hadn't got there yet, but the preacher is very, very stern and professional-like in his, you know. But I come in there, and the Lord has shown me, and many of you know this, when you say boldly that God's going to confirm his word with signs and wonders, not my word, but his word according to Mark 16:20, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every time you prophesy that in your church, there will be a miracle before that service is over with. God will confirm what is written. Praise the Lord. And I said, you people here, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before the night is over. They got a little bit more mellow then. Praise the Lord. Here they come. Bring the girl. She sits right next to me while I'm teaching. I'm going to teach a while. That's scripture verses. All of a sudden I said it's time to that we're going to have a little lunch, and if anybody's nervous, I always give the preachers a way out. I say, we're going to have lunch. Thank you for coming. We're not going to feel bad if you want anybody wants to go home. But as soon as we've had coffee, the Holy Ghost is going to start moving. Praise the Lord. And they all thought, no, they're going to hang on. Hang on to their seats and see what happens. And I prayed in tongues just a little bit. And as soon as I touched the top of the head of this girl, the Holy Ghost said to me, Antichrist spirit. The spirit of Antichrist. So I said, you spirit of Antichrist, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to show you, I like to mimic exactly what happened.
Another one. It sounds like a Japanese dress. About that time, the priest says, woo, woo, woo. Something else is going to be like the Baptist about to get a Bible put on top of her head. You know, Baptist taking the Bible and woo.
That's a fact. Then I'll tell you what happened. This girl said, you know, the demon talking to her said, you're all crazy. I'm getting out of this crazy house. So she goes out the door in a strange town. And they said, what are you going to do now? They wanted us to, you know, start running and getting handcuffs and everything. You know, it was, to God be the glory. We just stood outside and opened the door and said, her name was Monica. Monica, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come back into this house. She came right back in, just as nice as can be. And by 11 o'clock that night, folks, that girl was free. Started jumping all over and said, thank you, Jesus. How come somebody didn't do this a long time ago? Today, she's working. This was the first call I got was the 20th day of January. Today, she's got a full-time job. Praise the Lord. Turn to, brother, to Luke 5:26. Praise the Lord.
And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today.
That's what happened in Bible days. When they worked the miracles of God, the religious people said, we've seen strange things. I'm telling you, they went out of their bug-eyed that night, and I know they went home to their families and said, we've seen strange things tonight. Since that time, they've had a change of heart more and more, and Lord bless them. I was where they are not too long ago, but they see now what is necessary, the difference between religion and Christianity. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Each one of you can examine your own hearts relative to the subject I've been teaching on here today. You don't have to say anything to anybody else, just examine your own hearts. If you have done any of these things that you thought was normal, confess it as sin. We're going to say this prayer together. Praise the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask that you forgive me of all the things that I have done, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that have not been pleasing in thy sight. And I ask that you forgive me in the name of Jesus. I receive my forgiveness now in the name of Jesus. Satan, any rights or privileges that I have given you through these sins that are now forgiven, I command you to release me, my mind, my emotions, and my flesh in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is telling me that I should command a few spirits to come out And those of you who want to be sincere, you say this with me and you'll get blessed. And if you don't feel like it, don't do it. But this is the first one. Say, all unclean spirits. Now let's say it like we mean it. All unclean spirits, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Because it is written in Joel 2:32 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits, go from me now. In Jesus' name. All right, I command you to come out. Everybody here right now, in Jesus' name. Come out. All unclean spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All your witchcraft spirits, your spirit of divination, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. You come out. You that are ridiculing this, you come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. The hand of the Lord be on you. In Jesus' name. You come out. All you unclean witchcraft spirits, you unclean sex spirits, you come out in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I bind up the spirit of whoredom in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. All mocking spirits, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hand of the Lord be upon you. In Jesus' name. The hand of the Lord be on you. In Jesus' name. I'll tell you, anybody comes against this ministry that is anointed by the Holy Ghost will regret it. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you don't look out, you'll be carried out of here in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. All unclean spirits, you come out in the name of Jesus. You come out. You come out. You foul witchcraft spirits, you spirit of Antichrist, I bind you up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every spirit of Antichrist, you will come out. You spirit of Eastern religions, you will come out. You spirit of Buddha, you will come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of divination, all familiar spirits, be bound by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. All unclean sex spirits, everyone, whatever your name is, all named and unknown, all unknown sex spirits, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. You unknown sex spirits, you come out right now by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You spirit that causes masturbation and lust, all you foul unclean spirits, you come out in Jesus' name. You're going to feel the power of the Almighty in the name of Jesus. You come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. All unclean. It must begin in the house of the Lord. The housekeeping cleaning must begin in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, everybody say this with me. They want to. All perverse spirits, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, all you perverse spirits, come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All perverse spirits, come out in Jesus' name. You religious error spirits, you perverted spirits that pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All perverse and unclean spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. You Masonic spirit, all demon spirits that came in through the Masonic lodge, You come out of these people right now in Jesus' name. Come in through the eastern star, any lodge. I bind you up and I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You demon spirits that came in through studying astrology, I command you to be bound and come out of everyone here in the name of Jesus. Spirit of jealousy. Everybody say that. Spirit of jealousy. I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Because it is written in Joel 2:32 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Therefore, I'm going to be delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, all jealousy spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. All jealousy, come out. Come out, I said. Out of everybody here. You come out by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. You spirit, and I bind up every spirit of haughtiness and pride right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You come out too, all haughtiness and pride. Come out in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All Antichrist demons, now you will come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Okay, next one. Say, all familiar spirits, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, come out. All you spirits of divination and familiar spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, you familiar spirits. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All, okay. Yeah, all homosexual spirits, we bind you now in Jesus' name. Everybody say, all homosexual spirits, all lesbian spirits, we rebuke you. We command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, come out, you foul. Come out, homosexual, lesbian spirits. Come out, everybody, right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All homosexual, lesbian spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, you homosexual spirits and lesbian spirits. Come out. Come out. All spirits of confusion and frustration, come out of the minds of God's people. Come out in Jesus' name. Confusion and frustration, come out of these minds. Loose their minds in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Okay, some of you women are awful bossy. And that comes from a Jezebel spirit. If your husband can't please you, you've got a demon that's wrecking your family life. And it's going on into your children. And men have got equal spirits, but I'm just talking about Jezebel right now. You can see a bunch of little girls together, 5 and 6 years old, and you'll find one little boss. She's already given the orders. I'm going to be mama, you do this. That lesbian spirit, you can see it in the little children. Jezebel spirit. And it's not going to hurt you to say it. If you haven't got it, it isn't going to go. But if you got it, it'll go. Okay, say, spirit of Jezebel, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, you controlling spirits, come out. You Jezebel spirits, come out. Every woman here now, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. You foul, deceiving Jezebel spirit, you come out. Every woman here, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. All controlling spirits, you come out of these women. You come out of men too. Ahab. Okay, now for the men. You spirit of Ahab that wants to control your wife every move she makes. Say, spirit of Ahab, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you come out of me by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. All right, come out. Come on, both of you now. Jezebel and Ahab's spirit, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Out. Come out. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. I lost one myself. Praise the Lord. Come out. Come out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come out. Come out. Come out. That's a fact. People in deliverance will tell you that. The more deliverance they have with others, the more garbage you get rid of themselves. And I praise the Lord every time I get rid of another one. Now, there's a spirit of infirmity that's causing, I just see it on at least one, just again, showing up. The spirit of infirmity. Everybody say that. I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of the name of Jesus. And you will come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. All right, come out. All right, come out. Spirit of infirmity, come out, everybody, now. Come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. All infirmity, come out of these God's people. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. You want to take it a while?
Coming against the spirit of perversion that came in through rock and roll music. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come out of them right now. Rock and roll music, perversion of sex. Come out of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you must obey. You have no choice. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You must obey. Come out of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. By His blood. By His blood. By His blood. You must obey. You must obey in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. 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 We come against sexual fantasy in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of fantasy in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Everyone say fantasy. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. In Jesus' name. Come out of me. Okay, let's go in Jesus' name. Come out of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of them, fantasy. You must obey. You must obey. You must obey in Jesus' name. By His blood. By His blood. By His blood. Come out in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Come out. Come out now. All you foul unclean spirits that we've mentioned, every demon spirit we've mentioned, you come out. You spirit of murder and rage and anger, you come out right now. You demon spirits that cause that, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Murder spirits. All spirits of abortion. All spirits that have caused abortion, I command you to be bound by the authority in the name of Jesus. Come out. Everyone here. Every woman here in Jesus' name. You come out. All spirits of abortion, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out, you spirits of abortion. Come out in Jesus' name. Murder. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you something. There are children on this campground that are so full of rejection that need a good, the kids need a good deliverance. Before you go home, have a little session with your children on rejection. There's three rejection. I know kids here are so rejected. They're in confusion because of what's going on in the homes. And that's where rejection comes in. And if you as a parent don't do something about it, then it goes into rebellion. They're going to run away from home, get on drugs, get into promiscuousness. Every one of you responsible for your children. I'm telling you, there's children here that have got lots of rejection. Praise the Lord. I think we'll close now. Let's all just pray just a little bit here. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'll turn it over to praise the Lord.
We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love, and tell of His love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love.
Let's sing one that I want us to sing before we leave. And this, I believe, is one of the greatest things to combat Satan with, and that's love. So let's just all begin to love one another, as the Bible says.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that ye joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.